Hey, I'm Sheena, former miserable corporate attorney turned full-time calligrapher and creative entrepreneur. I used to feel like I was living my life for other people, and now I am more true to myself than ever. And each week, I'm sharing a short but powerful lesson that I've learned on that journey. So if you're looking for a way to get more creativity and possibility into your life, you're so in the right place. Let's dive right in. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sheena Show. Okay, this is a little bit different. You will notice I have a guest. Yay! So this is Xiao Chen from Monstera Gold, her calligraphy studio. And I really wanted to bring Xiao Chen on and just do a casual chat and interview because Xiao Chen has a pretty amazing story. Calligraphy totally changed her life. And I just wanted to show you what was possible when you take a step in the direction of something creative that you're interested in. So let me introduce Xiao Chen real quick, and then we will hop into our conversation. So Xiao Chen is a tech leader turned full-time calligrapher and small business owner. So she worked as a consultant to Fortune 500 companies and lead customer success, basically. She led customer success teams at Fortune 500 companies as well in Silicon Valley. But 2 years ago, she was searching for a creative outlet to potentially turn into a creative business, and she found calligraphy. She found Crooked Calligraphy, that's me. She signed up for my Modern Calligraphy 201 course and raced through the material. Basically, I was so impressed. And 2 months later, 2 months after she signed up for my course, started Monstera Gold, her calligraphy business. So now calligraphy is her full-time job, y'all. She has done calligraphy in her business, has seen her through. She got married. She moved from San Francisco to Colorado with her husband and her like really cute dog. I love her dog. And now she's even expanded her calligraphy offerings to include business mentoring and teaching calligraphers how to become wedding calligraphy pros themselves through her calligraphy CEO program. So that's Xiao Chen. Xiao Chen, did I miss anything?
No, thank you for having me, Sheena. I'm excited to be here.
Yay. So excited to have you. Let's just get down to it. You were in tech in Silicon Valley. Like, sounds like you weren't using too much of your right brain creative. Which brain is it? Left or right?
Yeah, right brain creative.
Yeah. It sounds like you were in like very like logic kind of based roles in companies. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it was pretty analytical, like operational. Worked with clients though, so I still got to use like some creativity with communications and stuff.
Yeah, okay, but like why calligraphy? What was it about calligraphy that called to you?
Yeah, well, I know similar to you, you kind of explored a lot of different creative like explorations and passions. I did the same thing. So like for a long time, I would just take workshops for fun. I've done like pottery and glass working and macrame and all kinds of different things. I had always loved pretty lettering and calligraphy, but I didn't think that I could do it because I actually have really awful handwriting. But, you know, my love language is words of affirmation. And I've always just been, I just feel like words have always been really powerful for me. It's kind of like how I express my emotions as well. Like I've had like 6 blogs over my life. I just have always really loved writing for myself. And so I finally decided to give it a shot. And I took a couple calligraphy courses, including yours, and found that like I could actually be good at it, even though it didn't have to, it actually didn't really have to do with my handwriting and how good my handwriting was. And the reason I kind of stuck with it was because it was just such a mindful, it was like a mindfulness practice for me, especially being in a stressful job. It was just one of the few ways I found that I could really take my mind off things and really clear my mind.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Calligraphy is totally that for me as well. So did you know that you wanted to make calligraphy into a creative business from the get-go?
No, not really. By the time I took your course, I did, because I kind of took your course so I could make that leap to becoming a business. So I took two pointed pen beginner courses before I took your Modern Calligraphy 201. And it was purely for fun. I remember even one of my teachers, Queenie of Traveling Calligraphy, she's awesome too. She was like, oh, if you have any questions about starting a business, like, let me know. And I was like, at the time I was thinking like, that seems so far away right now. Like, no way can I start a business with this. I think it was just one of those things where I had always wanted to be a small business owner. I didn't really know what that looked like though. And once I actually got into calligraphy, it became something that felt a lot more like accessible. Like it didn't require a huge upfront investment or capital or anything like that. I just needed to like get good at my craft and then I could kind of start small and turn it into a business.
Wow. So what was it about Modern Calligraphy 201 that gave you the confidence to actually go for it?
I was struggling with coming up with like my own style. So in the first, in the beginner courses that I took, I felt like I was learning really solid fundamentals, but I had a hard time breaking away from some of the beginner letter forms to find my own style. And I felt like once I actually, obviously it took time and practice, but your class has like a more like methodical way to come up with your own style. And that really resonated with me. And after that, I just felt a lot more confident that I could like have those principles in my mind as I was evolving my own style over time.
Okay. So interesting. I feel like confidence is just such an important part of allowing people to go and do something with their calligraphy. People think that it's, I need more technique, or I need more, I don't know, I need my flourishes to look better, or I need to learn from a certain teacher. I don't know. There's learning the skill, and then there's actually just having the like underlying confidence to actually go out there and put yourself out there. So, okay, how did you get your first calligraphy client?
So my first client, both unpaid and paid, were my friends, which I think is like very natural, right?
Yeah.
So two of my friends who are getting married, I just reached out to them and asked them if, you know, I told them about what I was doing and what I could offer and asked them if they needed anything for their wedding. For one of them, it was like a really small job. So I just offered it basically to gift it to my friend. She just wanted a couple small signs. And then the other friend that was the paid job, I actually made like an order of events board for her, which was like a really ambitious first project. It was like 24 by 36 board, with like multiple lines and, you know, setup and stuff. So like totally outside of my comfort zone. But I feel like sometimes as a business owner, there's a lot of like fish out of water moments, and you learn from that like trial by fire too. So I think it's just like, you can't ever be prepared for everything. And this was just one of those times where I was like, I felt enough confidence that I could figure it out to say yes to the job. And then, you know, it kind of kept going from there. That's kind of every time I do a new project, it kind of feels like that.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I feel like I tell people this all the time, to tap their friend networks, like to tap your family and friends, because it seems going out there and doing a wedding calligraphy job can seem so intimidating. But if you just start like you did with, okay, I will make a couple signs for your wedding.
Yeah.
You probably won't bash me too hard because you're my friend, right? So you're going to be nice. Like that seems like a really good way to ease into it.
Totally. Yeah. That's definitely more of like a safety net. And then usually you can ask your friends to also refer you to their friends as well. So it's not like you don't start off with complete strangers.
Yeah. Did you have a website or like samples or something to show your friends? To say, hey, I can do this for you?
I actually didn't have samples of either of those things that I created, but I had samples of other things that showed what my lettering looked like. And so, you know, I did create like a portfolio, my initial portfolio of products that I just photographed. And like, it was literally just cardstock samples, a few small place cards, like things I styled at home, took pictures of. And I look back at those pictures and I don't know, it's fun to look at how far you've come. But that was enough to kind of like show people what I could do. So when you're making like portfolios in a sample, you don't need to make like every variation possible out there. You just need to make enough that people are confident that it's something you can create for them, even though you don't have the exact thing they're looking for in their portfolio.
Yeah. Totally. And did you shoot those photos with your iPhone?
Luckily for me, my husband is kind of a camera, like, photography fanatic.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Yes, but I don't think I really knew, like, how to edit it and, like, the aesthetic I wanted in the beginning. So I still wasn't super happy with these product photos. And actually, it took me a really long time for me to like the pictures that were coming out for my products. And ultimately, I realized it has a lot more to do with editing than it does with the camera you use. So, like, iPhones are perfectly fine. Yeah, you just have to know how to kind of, like, tweak the lighting and stuff like that.
I asked that question because I totally took all of my first product photos with my... I take everything with my iPhone. Like, I just recently got a DSLR camera.
I have an iPhone 8, so it's not quite the same. I'm like four versions behind.
It doesn't have the triple lens. what we're saying, you guys, is, like, you do not need to get things perfect to get started. You can snap an iPhone photo, take, like, a couple, you know, samples, and it will totally launch you. Okay. Yay. That's so exciting. All right. So you did a couple weddings for your friends, and then, like, where did you go from there? I get this question so much, like, okay, I can imagine getting my first client. That's one hurdle. But then how do you build?
Yeah, so I did spend a lot of time doing exploration, and I give this advice to everyone. It's like, I think people go from, like, okay, I learned calligraphy, now I want to sell. But there's a step in the middle where you need to productize your work for people to be able to, something that people have a need for, right, to buy. And so where's the step between learning calligraphy and selling your work is, like, turning that calligraphy into a sign and learning how to make that sign, or, like, what dimensions are the table numbers I want to create, or where am I going to source my place cards from? There's a lot of the, like, legwork to turn your calligraphy into products. And so I think doing exploration around that process, I call it the product development process, just like, well, you know, I came from a tech background, so we had product teams, and literally just, like, focus on R&D for your business. And you have to think about it like that. And so I just, like, you know, bought a bunch of different kinds of paint markers and, like, started going to, like, different stores to check paper and did a bunch of research on that kind of stuff until I got my first couple products that I was able to photograph and create that, like, first portfolio I was telling you about. I actually just created a PDF, like, lookbook. I didn't really have much on my Instagram. I didn't have a website. I just created a PDF that I could send to people with those photos I took. Oh. And yeah, so there, from there, I started, like, telling people about my business, just telling friends, having friends refer me to other people. And then just, like, getting into the wedding industry as, like, however I could. So it involved, like, talking to friends who got married about who their planner was and seeing if they could introduce me. It didn't necessarily have to be that I worked their wedding, right? There's still a way to build a connection there. Ah. Really, my first clients that kind of launched me, that people that I didn't know, were friends of friends. There was one person who I hadn't talked to since we were children. Somehow we got reconnected and he was like, "What are you up to?" And I was like, "Well, here's this business I'm, like, trying to start." Like, and I was like, "Do you know anyone getting married?" It turned out he did. And one of my first, like, big wedding jobs was his friend. And then another one of my big clients was my friend's planner referred, like, a wedding I attended, she referred me. So, you know, you kind of never know who's watching. You just got to keep putting yourself out there. Sometimes it's a little bit of, like, luck and chance, right? But you also just have to be persistent in, like, talking about your business and sharing.
Oh, that's so good. I did the same exact thing as you, which is that exploration phase. What do I want to offer? Mugs? No. Custom calligraphy? Oh, maybe. Like, wedding stuff, right? But I had never thought to call it product development. Like, that sounds so much more official because you come from Silicon Valley and, like, actual startups. But I feel like that's such an important phase and it can be really fun.
Oh, yeah.
100%. For people to go through. Yeah.
And it's, like, important because you're learning, like, what you like, but also equally, if not more important, what you don't like. And there were plenty of, like, failed experiments and things that just, like, wouldn't scale. And that's why I like calling it product development, because it's not just about, like, can I make it one time? It's like, can I make 100 of it for a wedding? Like, I'll give you an example. There's a local plastics manufacturer who has, like, all kinds of acrylic. So cool. And so I got this, like, pearl acrylic and was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if I could make place cards out of them? And yeah, they look cool and there's nothing else like them on the market. But I realized in order to, like, mass produce them, I had to, like, my husband also does woodworking. I'm just very fortunate. He has all these skills that I can leverage, but he has a table saw. And so he was like cutting this acrylic for me to make samples. And I was like, if I really got an order of this, it would not scale very well. Like it couldn't really cut all of these place cards I need. So not only do you have to think about like, you know, the materials and the exploration and the sizes and what you like and don't like, but also like, does it actually scale up for a real wedding?
Wow. Okay. That's really, really cool. I had never thought about that, but to me, I'm drawing out of this. It's really important to do that exploration and then settle on the products that you're going to offer, find a clear way to present them. Mm-hmm. And then you can go out to people way more confident about like, here's what I have to offer instead of, I do everything. It can be like, yo.
Yeah.
I got this stuff. Do you know anybody who needs this? And then you can start making connections with people.
Yeah. And one more thing I'll say related to that is I think one of the challenges I see calligraphers have when they try to sell their work and make the jump from I'm a calligrapher to like I sell certain products is like they'll post lots of pictures of quotes. They'll post pictures of their writing and the lettering. That's great. But a client that's looking to buy a product needs to see an example of a product before they have confidence to buy it. Like I said, it doesn't have to be the exact product they're looking for with the exact design they want, but they need to be able to see that you can turn your lettering into a product before they are ready to book with you.
Yeah. It's like having a bakery with the case of goods, mm-hmm. right? And that's what draws people in. You don't just show like, I have flour and sugar. Can make them into all sorts of things. People aren't going to be drawn by that.
Yeah,
exactly. But they'll be drawn by the cute little cupcake with the, you know, the decorations on it. Okay.
That's a great
analogy.
That's
fantastic. Yeah. So can you tell us about how your business has grown and what it looks like now? You started it in 2019.
Yeah. So when I was in 2019, I did lots of different things. So I did custom projects. I did weddings. I did pop-ups. I was on Etsy. I wanted to kind of try it all to see what I liked and what I gravitated towards. And so I'm almost at my 2-year mark with my business. By the time this podcast airs, I think I'll be right around 2 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And I feel like I've really niched down from the beginning. So now my business is pretty laser focused on just doing weddings, day of wedding calligraphy and signage. And then also my calligraphy CEO education side of my business, where I help calligraphers to start and grow their businesses through different like mentoring courses, other programs. And I really love that aspect too. I love both aspects. Like I've worked with my clients my entire life. So I've always loved working with clients and now I get to be a part of their big day. I'm just like, I'm a sucker for weddings. So that's perfect for me. But I also feel like there's this huge community aspect as an extrovert. That was probably the thing I craved the most when I went into entrepreneurship was just not feeling like I had coworkers or like people to talk to. And so now I feel like I have this great community too. And being able to be a part of other people's journeys is like really fulfilling to me.
That's amazing. And you got through 2020. As a wedding calligrapher, which, dang.
It was tough. Yeah, it wasn't easy.
But you did. Okay, which brings me to, I'm going to ask Xiaoten to share some revenue numbers because y'all know how I like to be transparent. And I did ask her about this and she agreed, like, I think it would be great for the industry actually to just share what is possible, like what calligraphers can make, and then hopefully that opens up a larger conversation of what we should be charging, like how valuable our work is worth, all that stuff, which I know a lot of calligraphers are sort of working on. Kestrel from Make Me This, I know, is very transparent with her like pricing. I just think it's a good thing for our industry. So
yeah, totally, because nobody talks about it.
Yes. And so Xiaoten has graciously agreed to share just kind of overall revenue numbers. The cool thing is you're supporting yourself fully. Like this is your full-time job. Your calligraphy business.
I am. I mean, I think there's some caveats here too, because everybody decides on how they want to pursue their business differently and whether they want to be full-time, if that even makes sense. So when I decided to go full-time, I had a plan. And I looked at my numbers. And so I made sure that I had like 6 months worth of savings. I found ways to cut my expenses and, you know, things like disposable expenses and things like that. And so in 2019, when I started in July, in that first 6 months, I wasn't really expecting to make a ton of money from this business, knowing that I was building it from the ground up. So I knew that I had my savings as a safety net, but I made about $10,000 those first 6 months in business. So like a little over $1,000 a month in revenue. And again, it's like, you know, there's a lot of that just goes that you put back into the business, that you're investing back or buying materials and stuff like that. And then 2020 was like looking really good, actually. In the first few months, I was getting a lot of bookings, and then like, boom, like pandemic.
In March.
Yes. Every single one of my weddings got rescheduled, every single one that I booked. So that was a big blow. But I ended up going back to that exploration. You know, I think I feel like a broken record, but like, it's just a process that you kind of, it's iterative. You keep going back to it. And so this is when I decided to play around with resin, and I sold like resin magnets for a little bit. And then I like made wax seals into styling packs and sold those to photographers. And I like made these like award ornaments that were like pandemic related, just like making fun of the pandemic. And those were a big hit over the holidays. So just did a bunch of different things. I obviously was doing custom projects as well, because weddings weren't really happening. I ended up making about $30,000 that year still. So, you know, it was still like, if you think about the growth from 2019, where I was only in business for 6 months and made $10,000, it was still a growth compared to it. And then I was on unemployment for part of the year. So like, yeah, it wasn't the year that I had hoped for, but I was able to like pull through.
That's awesome.
And then this year, now that things are, there's more of a like light at the end of the tunnel. Weddings are coming back, and everybody's just being like slammed with work. So I took a look at like my first 4 months of revenue, so the first third of the year, and I actually made as much as I did in all of 2020 in that first third of the year.
Nice.
Yeah. So like, I definitely think that I'm hoping I'll land somewhere close to tripling my revenue from last year, probably not quite that much because the business is cyclical. But yeah, I just want to show that like business takes time. You know, I gave myself that 6 month runway and safety net so that I could evaluate, but there's no way you can build up your business in 6 months, right? Like the whole point of giving myself a finite amount of time was so I could test it out, see if I liked it, make sure I gave it a fair shake before I said like, no, this doesn't work, or yes, it does. But like it compounds year over year, and there's no overnight success. Like we see everyone's highlight reels, but that doesn't always translate to sales. Like you just got to be persistent and work at it. You know, if this is something that you want to build your business. So
yeah, for sure. That's really super impressive. I'm so proud of you for like coming through a pandemic and like sticking with it and coming up with new stuff and ideas and building out an education platform, like super smart. And I just want to clarify for people, because I know when I first started hearing these figures as a new entrepreneur thinking about starting a business, I was like, what's revenue? Ooh, $30,000. That seems like a lot. So revenue is like the overall sales that you make in your business. And it doesn't take into account your expenses. It doesn't necessarily equal how much you pay yourself and put into your pocket, but it is kind of just, you know, that's different for every person. So revenue, just, you know, for y'all out there, is like kind of just one gauge, you know, of how a business is doing. But thank you so much for being willing to share that and like being so transparent about it. That kind of about tracks my journey, to be honest, without pandemic year. So I was like about $20,000 in revenue my first year in business. And then I think I went to maybe like $70,000 my second year in business. So
nice.
It does take time, but it's totally doable. I do want to talk a little bit about Modern Calligraphy 201. I'm going to self-promote here for a second. Modern Calligraphy 201, for those who don't know, is my intermediate level course. It doesn't teach the basics of calligraphy, but like Xiaochen said earlier, it teaches you how to really develop your own style and many different kinds of styles from scratch. It kind of gives you the method and a foundation to do that. So what was it like? Was that worth the investment, would you say? And what did you get out of it that made you able to launch into your own business?
Yeah, I mean, it was totally worth the investment. Like I mentioned, the biggest thing for me was like feeling like I had my own style and could be confident about the work that I was putting out for myself and for other people. But I think 201's just pretty unique in the sense that there's not a lot of intermediate courses out there. I think there's a lot of beginner courses out there, but I didn't really find ones that felt like they were targeted to where I was specifically, which was to expand my style. Like when people talked about bounce, I was just like, okay, well, do I just dip this a little bit lower and this a little, you know, there's actually a lot more behind it than just sporadic bouncing. And I then think that like the way that you taught just kind of made things really click for me in a way that I could actually practice it. Like you don't think about creativity as being something that can be structured, but it totally can. You can learn it in a way that is structured. And that really helped me kind of having that step-by-step process. But in terms of like ROI, I was telling you that like, you know, I bought into the course when it was about $250.
You were early. You were, when it first came out, you were like, yeah, I'm on it.
Yeah, you were like first class. Or
yes, it was. It was.
And now our wedding deals are about $1,200, $1,300 on average. So if you think about that math, I make it back 5x every time I book a wedding. And we book like dozens of weddings a year. So
that's awesome. So for full disclosure, Modern Calligraphy 201 is now about $400 and that price is going up soon. But yeah, we've added a lot to the course. But even then, 3x ROI for like every wedding thing that you book. And it sounds like a lot of money until you really tap into the possibility of what you can do with it. And like your own possibility. And like weddings are happening all the time. Now is just like an amazing, there's a flood of weddings. I'm one of them. I need to get married. I mean, I'm hoping next year, you know, but like I didn't get married during the pandemic. So there you go. All right. Very cool. So, okay. For someone who wants to start a calligraphy business, and I know there's so many of you out there who are interested in this. And like, but something's holding you back. Fear, I mean, just uncertainty that you can do it. What would be your best advice for them?
I love saying to lean into the discomfort. And this is something that I've really felt in the last, 2 years that I've been doing this. It's always going to feel uncomfortable when you're trying something new. And what I mean by lean into the discomfort is to kind of dive deeper to understand what is it that you're feeling uncomfortable about and why does it make you feel uncomfortable? Because if you can understand why it's making you feel uncomfortable, then you can start to make it feel, you know, more comfortable for you. So what I mean by that is usually for me, discomfort comes from a place of like not knowing, not having enough information, not being able to make decisions, or just not knowing the next step to take. And so when that happens, I like do research, look into resources I can buy or talk to friends, Google, whatever. I do everything that I can to move out of that zone of discomfort into more of a place that feels comfortable to me. And the other thing I realize is like when I'm in that zone of discomfort, that's also when I'm positioned for the biggest growth and the biggest potential and the biggest learning. And so like if you are feeling that discomfort, that's a great thing. That's a great place to be. You just need to push yourself a little bit more so that you can experience that growth. You know, like I just created a online course. And before I did that, there were so many questions like, how do I even record? What are the technical aspects? How do I build my outline? Like, what does my audience want? Like a million questions. But I wrote them all down and just started tackling them one by one. And the more you learn, the more comfortable you feel, the more you do it, the more comfortable you feel. And that's just how it is, you know, when you're doing anything new, but especially if you want to be, start your own business.
So good. There's so much to unpack there, but I couldn't agree with you more. It really, people think starting a business is like the tactics and the strategy. Okay, what do I do to get my first client? How much do I charge? But like, it all comes back to mindset. It all comes back to that being able to, yeah, work through that feeling of not knowing and not knowing if you're going to succeed, because nobody does. Nobody's guaranteed to succeed in business. Otherwise, everybody would do it. And it just means that the people who succeed are able to work through the uncomfortable parts.
Yeah. And I think like the whole idea of leaning into discomfort, to me, it's kind of like a muscle that you build, you know, like the more that you're used to being in a place that pushes you out of your comfort zone, the more you can look back at the last time you were in a place that was uncomfortable and be like, oh, I pulled through that, you know, and it's a muscle, it's an exercise. So it is hard and there's a reason why it's uncomfortable. So, but just try to stay in it, try to like figure out how to make that place more comfortable by gaining knowledge, resources, tools, like stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. And speaking of which, amazing segue. Do you have anything you would like to promote, Xiao Chen? Yeah, you do. You need to talk about your courses.
Yeah. So I just launched in May, I just launched a pro wedding calligrapher course. So this course is specifically for calligraphers who want to start booking wedding clients and build a business that puts them in the wedding industry. And so I start from the very beginning. We talk about like visioning, goal setting, income planning, all the way through like product design and selling, writing proposals and managing clients. So it's meant to get you through the full life cycle of like getting your business up and running. I've had students join who have absolutely nothing at all. Like no Instagram, just like, obviously they know they've been learning calligraphy. That is something that you need to have before starting the business. But other than that, they don't have anything set up at all. And they're using this course to get started. I also have students who have been doing this for a couple years who just like want to book bigger deals. Maybe they want to get off Etsy because their ideal client isn't there. They want to learn how to like create bigger proposals and things like that, really up-level their business. So it's kind of like, it's a pretty balanced mix right now of those kinds of people. But I have video lessons in there and also a lot of tools, like hands-on tools, worksheets, templates that you can actually just plug and play into your business. So had really good feedback on it so far. I'm like really excited to get this out into the world because my like big dream outside of just myself and my own business is really to elevate our industry as calligraphers in the wedding industry. Like I want people to seek calligraphers out for every wedding, not just stationers, because I think that there's a lot, like stationers are pretty well known and I really respect what they do, but not every calligrapher is a graphic designer or can do like printed goods or stationery, and not everybody wants to. And I'm one of those people who just wants to do the handwritten stuff mostly. And I would love to be able to like create a path for people like me, because I didn't see that when I was starting. It kind of felt like I had to do stationery. It kind of felt like I had to do envelope addressing, you know? And by the way, you can do all of those things. I'm just saying that like, I want people to see that they can have calligraphers at their wedding, and that should be something everybody asks for. So yeah, that's my big
thing. Amazing. So cool. So if you are a calligrapher and you're interested in getting into the wedding industry, but you don't want to do invitation design, right?
Yeah. I don't really teach about like printed goods or stationery in the course.
Yeah. Check out the Pro Wedding Calligrapher course. We will put a link to that in the show notes for this at thesheenashow.com. But you can also follow Xiao Chen at Monstera Gold. Is it Monstera.gold?
Yes, there is a dot in there. Yeah. At Monstera.gold.
Monstera.gold, Monstera, like the leaf, like the plant. So that's Xiao Chen. And thank you so much, Xiao Chen, for joining us. I just wanted to say quickly, the course that Xiao Chen took to get her calligraphy to the place where she felt confident to like put herself out there is Modern Calligraphy 201. It's my intermediate course, and it is opening doors from Friday, June 25th, had to check the dates there, Friday, June 25th to July 2nd, 2021. So if you happen to be listening to this or watching this during that time, you can go to moderncalligraphy201.com to check that out. So thank you so much, Xiao Chen, for coming on. I am so, like, I have followed Xiao Chen from when she was a student of mine, one of my very first Modern Calligraphy 201 students, and I've just been amazed at what she's able to do. And I think it is an extraordinary story, but it is just such a testament to what is possible for everyone out there who is saying, there's too many calligraphers already, or there's not a place for me, or I can't do it because I don't have a business background, or I'm not artistic. It's all BS. You can absolutely do it if you want to, and you lean into the discomfort, and you get some help, and you get some confidence. So I hope that's what you take away. Thank you, Xiaoqian, for joining me, and I will see y'all next time on The Sheena Show.
Bye. Thanks, Sheena.
Hey, if you're interested in learning calligraphy and you want to do it for free, I have a calligraphy workshop that I created just for you. I know how frustrating it is to buy the wrong tools, to not know how to use them, for everything coming out of your pen to look like nonsense. That's why I created this training. It's about an hour long. It shows you exactly what tools to buy, how to prep those tools, how to get started right, and how to continue practicing so that you actually get good at calligraphy. And bonus, it will tell you a little bit more about how to continue working with me if you want to learn calligraphy from me. So that's at freecalligraphyworkshop.com, all one word, freecalligraphyworkshop.com. Hope to see you inside. Oh, you're still here. That's awesome. That means that you like the show, right? Thank you for listening to the end. And I want to ask you a really quick favor. Could you take 2 seconds right now, literally right now, to just leave a rating on this podcast? And if you're feeling extra generous, write a 1-sentence review. It really helps more people like you to find this show. You are awesome. I'll see you next time.